You're listening to Paranormal Portal on Revolver Podcasts. Everybody, and welcome to the Paranormal Portal Podcast. I'm your host, Brent Thomas, and I hope you all are doing wonderful out there. And thank you to all of you who have continued to support what we're doing and encourage us with kindness and subscriptions and great reviews. Thank you all so much for that. It really means the world. We are growing and hearing from a lot of new people, and we have a great show lined up for you today. We have a special guest. This is a gentleman from Oregon joining us today who's had some experiences with the Bigfoot, the Sasquatch. Welcome to the show, Tyler. I appreciate you being here, and thank you so much for coming on and being willing to talk to us about this.
Yeah, thanks for having me, Brent. I'm super, super excited about this.
Yeah, as am I. I mean, you know, my favorite parts of doing the show are the ability to get in touch with the actual experiencers, the people that are going through these things, and, you know, being able to talk with them and understand the phenomena a little bit through their own eyes, and, you know, as well as through my own, as I've experienced many things through in my journey. But I just think this is an incredible opportunity to understand the phenomena a lot more. So can you just kind of tell us, I think right off the bat, the best place to start is, where did it all begin?
Yeah, so I was a little kid, probably like 14 or so, I'm guessing, right around that age. And both my dad and brother are avid fishermen. And they had spent a weekend up at Squaw Lake, up in outside Estacada, Oregon area, and with one of my uncles. And they had experienced a undescribable howl scream at night that put chills up their spine instantly. Mm-hmm. And they left the next day, and my uncle stayed one more night. And that exact night, he was in his tent, and he ended up smelling some skunkish, like some foul odor.
Oh.
So hearing this story growing up, you know, it's my family. I'm pretty credible in my mind, so I instantly believe them.
Mm-hmm.
And it just got the ball rolling for the whole Bigfoot subject.
Mm-hmm.
I had already been interested in it before, but that just kind of solidified everything for me. So fast forward to quite a few years later. It was actually this last summer. I was up, decided to do a little bit of investigation. I've been listening to Sasquatch Chronicles quite a bit. And got some ideas from some people I called in talking to Wes about some stuff, and decided to try my hand at some call blasting. So So I decided to climb up the find the mountain, the Squaw Mountain, where my dad and brother had been, and made my way up to the area, and just kind of checked it out. Didn't really see too much at all. And as I was coming back down, decided to go further up towards the end of the Mount Hood National Forest, and up near Ripple Brook Station, and back up in the probably about a few miles, probably probably closer to 4 miles up, I found this little dead end logging road, and I'm an outdoor guy. I live in the city, but I love being outdoors. That's where I go to reset, you know, my energy levels and all that stuff. So, sure.
Right.
You know, drain the city out of me. And, so I'll go up there and park and just turn my car off and hang out there, take my shoes and socks off, lay down on the grass, go to the dirt where whatever is present for a few, you know, for 1 or 2 hours and just reset,
right.
Hang out. Well, there's nothing was different this day. And I did that. And so I got done and I hopped back in my car and I decided to hang out for a little bit longer. So I turned my car over to turn the power on and had Sasquatch Chronicles was playing, and they had an episode where it was nothing but reported Sasquatch sounds.
Ooh.
So I got the bright idea to roll down all my windows and blast this call.
Ooh, okay.
And so the way it is, I was coming up a road. I can send you pictures of this stuff too if you want. But I was coming up a road, like a logging truck road, and it comes to a dead end. And to my right, it goes up the mountain, and to my left, so it's like a road cut in the middle of a mountain. So I'm like an incline on my left side, and then or on my right side, and a decline on my left side.
Okay.
So it's kind of, if you can picture what I'm trying to say right now. Sorry, I'm kind of nervous.
Oh no, you're doing great, brother. You're doing fantastic.
Okay. So I play this call, and it gets done about 15 seconds worth of it. It gets done, and I turn my volume all the way down. And within a few seconds after I had my volume turned down, I heard, I don't even know how to describe it. It was like a very extremely loud human scream with like a doggish high-pitched yip at the end.
Oh, no.
And I was going through my brain going, I hadn't seen anyone up there the whole time I'd been up there, which was hours on end at this point.
Uh-huh.
It was like 3:30 noon on a Wednesday, so there shouldn't have been too many people up there anyways.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm going through all these thoughts in my head, like, it's not this, what is that? And then the second it clicked in my head that was unnatural, and I started getting that eerie feeling. On the right side of my vehicle, I heard a click, 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 like little tiny rocks or pebbles or something hitting the right side of my car.
Uh-huh.
Followed by like milliseconds afterwards, what I can only describe what felt and sounded like a boulder or a log slammed into the side of my car.
Oh, geez.
It shook my car so bad, Brent. It was horrible.
Yeah.
I can still hear my leaf springs and shot. It was like metal on metal grinding, and my car shifted like 2 to 3 full times, like rocking back and forth.
That's amazing.
I've almost died in a canoe on the Clackamas River in the springtime, and I thought that was scary. This topped that. I've never felt this scared in my life.
Yeah.
It was horrifying. So I instantly like start in sheer panic, start my car up, and I'm trying to slam my car into the gear, mm-hmm. and it's not going because I'm in such shock and panic that I don't have my foot on the brake. So what really is taking 5 seconds to do is feels like it's taking like an hour.
Right. Sure.
And so I finally get going, get down off the mountain, and this I pulled onto the main road and got out and just sat down and just started bawling because I was so scared. Like I said, I've never been so scared in my life, and I'm not afraid to admit it, but I've never cried from fear before. I didn't cry the day I almost died.
Right.
So it was just very unnatural and weird for me to be that scared. So I get out, sit down on the highway, off the side of the highway, and I collect myself, and I get up to assess the damage. There is not one single dent or scratch on my car, on the side of my car where this collision happened.
That's incredible. I mean, because of the force, should have folded that metal, huh?
Exactly.
Wow.
I went out with my dad's pretty good buddies with an Oregon fishing guide who used to be part of the BFRO, and I was telling him about my scenario, and he seems to think that it was the big guy coming across, and because I have a Subaru Outback, so I have that black railing on the top of my car.
Mm-hmm.
He thinks it was just a warning smack, get the hell out of here.
Wow.
I still have not found anything. I can tell you this, though, for a fact. I physically was moving with my car. Like, my car was shaking. I was shaking with my car.
Yeah, that is amazing. And you didn't see any handprints or anything like that, or any other signs that this took place, but you know because you experienced it.
Correct. Oh. If it wasn't for the fact that I was so scared, I probably would have looked at my rear view mirrors flying out of there, but I just didn't want to.
Yeah.
I was afraid to see anything, honestly.
Yeah. I mean, there's a point where everything, you know, for everyone, where things are just as real as you can handle. And any more real, and it's just going to take a step across the line that you may not be able to cross back over. So you're in an incredibly adrenalized state. I can't imagine what that would have felt like, but I can sympathize with that because I have had an experience, and it was the most terrified I've ever been in my life. But, you know, I was 14 at the time. But yeah, I completely understand, and what a profound event.
Yeah, it was the mark of the beginning for me, honestly.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. It was.
That's a hell of an introduction.
So my next incident, I guess you could call it. It's not really an incident. So I've never really put too much thought into the whole dogman thing. I've always been on the I don't know if that could even be real type of.
Sure. Right.
Train. Mm-hmm. So it was, I'd came out probably a couple weeks later to one of my buddies about what had happened to me up on the mountainside. And he got all into his eyes got like huge, and he got all interested, and he wanted to go up there. So I was like, I'll take you up there, but I won't go on that road that happened on. I'll take you other places, but I won't go there.
Mm-hmm.
So we get in the car, and we get up within the same area vicinity, and we're kind of driving around, and we come around this turn, and there's kind of same situation. It's like a berm to the right where it goes uphill a little bit, and then it goes down into like a little valley area to the left, down the hill.
Okay.
So on the right, I wouldn't have even seen it unless my buddy was with me. He says, dude, you see that? Stop. So I slam on the brakes real quick, and he points at this trackway that's going diagonally up this extremely steep embankment.
Now, is this winter time, or what do you mean the trackway?
This is a few months or a few weeks later after I had my encounter. So it was last summer. So okay. It was, I'd say, about July maybe when this happened.
Okay. Gotcha.
This last July.
Gotcha.
So I get out and I take, take in the view of what's going on, and I look at this trackway, and I'm a big guy. I'm like 5'11", 230. My hands are like pretty big. Mm-hmm. I can fit my whole hand in one of these tracks.
Wow.
It's huge. And this, the stride between the feet are pretty long. I could not foresee a human walking.
So explain the track, what it looked like. So we're not talking like a Sasquatch track here.
So what I initially see is a Sasquatch track. I see the back of it, and I can send you the picture of this as well.
Sure.
I see the back of the heel, and it kind of protrudes in, and there's two points what makes me think it's a dogman track.
Okay.
The ankle kind of, you know how like the back of a dog's foot super narrow, and then it kind of widens out?
Sure.
To the front.
Mm-hmm.
The back where like our Achilles or our arch would be right around that area.
Okay.
It's super narrows out and then widens out. Point one. Now point two, at the end of all five toes, there's a claw mark.
Mm-hmm.
Now I have done extensive research on, you know, bear doubling up on their tracks. Mm-hmm. I've been looking into all that stuff. There was no signs of any double up tracks. It was convincing to me.
Okay.
I went to the there's a Bigfoot museum here in Oregon, mm-hmm. Sandy. And I went there and I showed the picture that I was telling you about, and they seemed to think that it could be either they agreed on a neutral decision on it. So it could be either or. There's no, because they weren't there to see it. You know, right. What I mean? It's just a picture.
Sure.
But it wasn't that's a human track. So in my mind, there's still guess, but I want to check it out. But the claws is what freaked me out.
Yeah.
Because that was shortly after my encounter. So you know, at that point now I'm wondering, well, was that a Bigfoot?
Mm-hmm.
You know, because I don't know anything. Only what I've heard on podcasts and such.
Right.
So I just kind of got freaked out after that. There's a little tiny creek that goes down underneath that cutout road. And at one point during the winter, in spring, I guarantee you that creek floods. Mm-hmm. So it'll flow over the road. And there's these two trees on the adjacent side of the road that had the most, and I'll send you a picture of this too, particular looking like cross structure with little sticks. Like it looked like maybe it would have been flooded from the flood.
Okay.
But I was looking all around the area.
Mm-hmm.
There was no other flood damage signs or anything. And there's a stick in there that's like wedged. Like I tried pulling it out and I couldn't. So that was kind of weird too.
So it's very much looking like it wasn't just flood damage or flood wedging or whatever. It looks very intentional.
Correct.
Wow.
Correct.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's intense.
So that's what happened up on those two areas. That's about as much as I got for that second story. Mm-hmm. I wish something else happened, but I found like
careful tree what you wish damage for.
And all that kind of stuff around the area. But you know, all that kind of stuff is, you never know. It could be wind damaged or anything.
Mm-hmm.
But okay, so my final Sasquatch story, second to last. Actually, I'll save that one for last. Okay, so I will. So probably 4 months after, 3 months after I saw the Bigfoots, or the cast tracks. Or the tracks going on the hillside.
Sure.
Okay. I was up a ways up on a mountain called Tamala Mountain or Squaw Mountain.
Okay.
Close to the very top with another one of my friends. And we were call blasting. And we got almost the same exact situation where I played a call, and we got one of the most vicious sounding. It sounded like it was like a mile away,
mm-hmm.
but it didn't sound like it. If you know what I mean. If you know what I'm trying to say. So it sounded like it was a long ways away, but it was so loud it sounded like it was right next to us.
Oh, sure, the intensity, huh?
Exactly. Mm-hmm. And this one started out higher pitched and ended in like a low growl, but it was like a human like scream, mm-hmm. mixed with like a, oh, I don't even know, like a bear's lowest intensity growl I could think of. It's the only thing I can think of. I'd have to ask my buddy how he'd describe it, but we both heard this and it lasted about 10 seconds, 5 seconds, probably mm-hmm. closer to five.
Okay.
And we both look at each other and I instantly went to my very first experience.
Sure.
And I was like, we're getting out of here. Like, I don't want to risk anything. That sounded really close. Let's go.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, we left. So the whole point of that was there's a lot of activity up in this area that I go to a lot.
Sure. Yeah. I mean, Oregon is, there's so many reports coming out of Oregon. It's just insane. There's so many hotspot areas. And I think that these things probably have a pretty generous range anyway. Like they probably, yes. you know, have a big territory base and they can move through that pretty quickly. So, that doesn't surprise me at all.
Well, and it's, the area I was at is approximately 5 miles from Bull of the Woods section of the, Mount Hood National Forest, which is, completely trailless and roadless. So pretty much there's no activity and it stretches from Estacada all the way to the, Warm Springs Indian Reservation in Central Oregon.
Mm.
So it goes a long ways. Also noted that all these areas are about no more than 20 miles away from Highway 213 or 212, aka Oregon Bigfoot Highway.
Oh, sure.
So, yeah, and I'm just learning about all this, so I didn't know that.
So you're getting a crash course, really, in all of this phenomena.
Exactly.
Mm.
So yeah, so that brings me to my last and final.
Okay, now hold on to that thought, Tyler, because I want to take just a quick break. So we'll pay the bills here pretty quick. But ladies and gentlemen, don't go away. We'll be right back with Tyler and his final experience here on the Paranormal Portal. And we'll be right back. Hey guys, Brent Thomas here of the Paranormal Portal Podcast. We just wanted to take a moment to introduce you to the Paranormal Portal store. We've got t-shirts, hoodies, leggings, stickers, mugs, you name it, you might find it over there. So head on over to teespring.com/stores/paranormal-portal and you too can help fund the Paranormal Portal Podcast. Thank you so much for all that you do and thank you for being a part of our Paranormal Portal family. Everybody, and we are back and back at it here with Tyler from Oregon, who is on the show to share his experiences with the Bigfoot, Sasquatch, whatever you want to call it. Tyler, you're an Oregonian, right?
Yes, sir.
Okay, so and Don gives me hell about this, but I'm from Minnesota originally, and so I know that it's called Oregon. But he said, "No, what are you saying? It's Oregon. How do you natives say it?"
I always tell people imagine it with a U in it instead of an O. Oregon.
Okay. So Don was right. All right. Well, I can be trained, but I just want to put that out there. Since I had a native Oregonian on the phone here, I would ask you, because now the record is straight and Don was actually right. Okay. Thanks for clearing that up, brother.
Absolutely.
So now we've been through the journey of some incredible experiences you've had, and one incredibly wild close encounter with having your car moved, of all things. I can't imagine the shock and incredible terror that you would have felt with such an experience. But I mean, you what I want to point out before you get into your last experience is, you realize that there are people researching this phenomena their whole lives and never having so much as a vocalization. And here you are just by virtue of dumb luck or whatever. And you're just in, you know, coming so close to some amazing experiences, maybe some that weren't as welcome and stuff, but that is really incredible that you've had so many experiences.
Yeah, I'd like to say that I feel fortunate, but I don't know how I feel about that statement. Yeah.
Sure. I mean, it's nothing. I mean, you never asked for any of this, in other words.
Yeah, that's what I kind of did, but sure. I didn't. I was expecting the, you know, the happy-go-lucky encounter, like so many people who have had bad encounters have done.
Sure.
And I just didn't learn from their mistakes, I guess. No, one more so. I'm just I learned from the hard way, I guess. So
sure. Well, at least you're honest about that. I mean, yeah, I suppose rolling down your windows and cranking out a vocalization is probably like chum in the water, so to speak, in shark speak. But that's you know, who would have thought that just that one activity would draw such an immense and incredible experience?
Yeah, I sure wasn't expecting that at all. I just figured it'd be some, you know, get it going and didn't hear anything, or I might hear like a cougar callback or some sort of. Yeah. Wasn't expecting that.
Yeah, no, I think that's amazing, and you know, I mean, in hindsight, you're okay. The as highly charged as that experience was, and what an incredible demonstration. Obviously, if that being had wanted you dead, you'd be dead. Yeah, with that kind of strength and that kind of ability that they, you know, they would have flipped your car over and there wouldn't have been a darn thing you could do, you know. But I think it was just a really poignant demonstration, like, hey, don't mock us.
Yes, that's kind of what I'm taking from it, you know. So it was definitely, you know, for me it was more so, you're absolutely right, they could have killed me if they wanted to, because I had every single window on that vehicle available to roll down. So
yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Cool. Yeah. So
well, take us into your last experience then, and walk us through what happened here.
Okay, well, this was on a Friday after work. Same, I was at Squaw Mountain, or I'm sorry, Squaw Lake on Squaw Mountain.
Mm-hmm.
And I was gonna meet a buddy up there possibly, and so I head up after work and I set up my camp, got my fire going, start you know, cooking some snacks up, waiting for my buddy to show up. And it's about 6 or 7 at this point, and I was just, you know, dilly-dallying around, hanging out. So 10 o'clock rolls around, 9, 10 o'clock rolls around, and my buddy still hasn't showed up.
Mm-hmm.
And so at this point, I'm just getting ready to cook my dinner on the fire. And I'm sitting there right in front of the fire. And right in front of the fire, there's the lake. And then there's woods surrounding the lake, completely surrounding the lake, on mm-hmm. Like 360 degrees.
Wow.
with the access road cut into the woods. So I'm very secluded. I'm up there, and luckily my tent had I had been missing a pole for my tent, so I ended up having a car camp that night, which ended up being a blessing.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm sitting around fire, and I just get this itch and urge to look to my left. You know what I'm talking about. You just get that feeling, not necessarily that you can feel someone looking at you, but it's just your subconscious, like, hey, look this direction.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So I look to my left, and right outside of my firelight, just behind a tree, so it's like 80% shadow and 20% visibility, I see what I can only describe as an ape hanging out from behind a tree. And all I can see is from his belly button up and his left arm and his left foot and his face. And I'm sitting there looking at him, and I don't believe what I'm seeing. I'm like rubbing my eyes, blinking them, like, there's no way I'm seeing this. There's no possible way. This is not real.
Sure.
And so, but at the same time, I instantly get freaked out because I'm maybe looking at something that shouldn't be real.
Right.
And so I'm locked in on this face, really, is what it was. It was his nose was, I say his, I don't know if it was, what gender it was.
Sure.
Its nose was so flat that it almost looked like glued on and like broken and fake. It was super, super flat.
Mm-hmm.
Like beyond what I've heard description of an ape's nose or the Bigfoot's nose looking like an ape.
Mm-hmm.
And it was totally like circular in the face, black, really like such black hair around its face. It was like darker than the night itself. Yeah, I don't know how else to describe it. It was it was so black that it stood out by itself.
Wow.
Which is how I could, the only reason I could see the shape of its head. And its mouth was, its lips were pursed, like it was almost like it was about to whistle.
Mm-hmm.
It was big red, like pinkish, red pink looking lips that I remember.
Wow.
And about, I want to say quarter size, like blacker than black eyeballs. That's all I remember from it. And I'm sitting there locked in on this, still blinking my eyes, trying to see if I don't know if I believe this or not. I'm seeing it, but there's no way this is real.
Right.
And so I'm sitting in my chair in front of my campfire, and I have my cell phone out because I've been listening to Sasquatch Chronicles.
And, why is Wes always a part of the bad ones?
Oh, I know. And I get an idea to pull my LED, because on my phone, all I gotta do is pull my screen down, and then my LED flashlight button is available right there. So as soon as this idea kicks in my head, I get like this primal fear that kicks in, like like almost like the same fear that I had the same day that my car got assaulted, I guess you could say. I was instantly frozen stiff. Like my head was locked onto this object looking out from behind the tree, and my body was shaking, but I couldn't physically move. Like I was extremely scared. And within seconds after I got this sheer like fear, panic feeling going on, from the bottom, from the tips of my toes all the way up to the top of my head, I got this warm tingly sensation, and all my fear dissipated. I always made fun of all those accounts I've heard of, you know, the woo side of Sasquatch, and I've just never, you know, telepathy, give me a break, that type of mentality.
Right.
But I tell you the truth when I say I was sitting there, and this warm sensation is flooding over me, I can only describe it as like this forced thought into my head. It wasn't my, maybe you know what I'm saying. Sure. Maybe you know what I mean when I say it wasn't my thought voice. It was completely different. It was much, I felt like gentleness from this voice, and the whole the whole theory of this was this voice coming in stating, I'm not, you have no reason to worry. I'm not going to hurt you. I'm just here checking you out.
Wow.
And I didn't know what to think of it. I instantly felt way more relaxed, obviously, because I had this warming sensation flooding over me.
Mm-hmm.
And I've never felt anything like this before or after since. So I'm still kind of, I don't know what to think of it, but, I'm sitting there and I'm get this quick urge to pull my LED light out, see if this is real. Cause I'm not scared anymore. I'm more comfortable. I'm like, I at the same time thinking back of it, that's extreme violation, but which is probably why I haven't had any encounters since then.
Mm.
But let me get to the, I'm sorry. No. I'm still nervous.
You're doing great.
So, I pull my LED light out, I pull my screen down, and I push the button. My phone is in my lap. The light part of my phone is on my lap, so it's hidden. The second I move it up to aim it at the tree to see if I could make any light difference at all whatsoever, This thing moves back behind the tree so fast, it was like a blur.
Wow.
Like, I've never seen anything move that fast. And I sat there with my mouth held wide open, just like, no, waiting to see if I could hear something. I didn't hear a single thing. After, and I sat in that chair for probably a good 5 minutes after that, just not even knowing what to do. And sitting there thinking, nobody's going to believe me. Nobody's going to believe me. So, you know, that put a big stress on me because, I mean, that's how many people do you know that have experience that, you know, it's not few and far between.
Right. Right.
That. So, I mean, who do you go to talk to about that?
Well, so, you know, the good thing is that, there are other people out there that are experiencing this. I mean, you're not alone. What you're talking about is not unprecedented. There are, in fact, I just talked to a researcher last night. I was guest hosting on Bigfoot Odyssey, and we talked to Arizona Squatch. His name is Kevin Keeney, and oddly enough, he was just telling me a very similar story last night. Now, what are the odds of that? You know, because these stories are not common, but they're not unprecedented. There are people experiencing these kind of things. Of well, even Les Stroud, you know, Survivor Man, when he did the Bigfoot, the Survivor Man Bigfoot series, talked about mind speak. He experienced that very thing, and he said it's such a profoundly different thing that you can tell it's not yours. It's like it's not coming from you. It's not a fabrication of your imagination or whatever. It's this very different presence and feeling that's involved with this. So what you're explaining is exactly this, really very the same thing.
I was literally just about to say, more than anything, what locked this in, because I've watched that interview with him.
Yeah.
And that really is what, like, all right, dude, you got to stop making fun of people. This isn't your imagination anymore. There's something more to this whole scenario than what you really think.
Sure.
But yeah, it was for me, it was the feeling. It was, it's almost like a unwant, like you can feel like someone's entering into your consciousness and you don't want it. But the energy and feelings that coincide with this, from what my experience is, it's really hard to not want it. It's like a warm, fuzzy, relaxed, like nothing, like carefree feeling. For that's how it was for me.
Right.
Like I said, I was in a sheer, I literally went from 1 second so scared I literally could not move. Like I was trying to move my arm and I couldn't, to being so carefree that I was able to pull my arm up and move my light.
Yeah.
So I don't.
and you know, the funny thing was the discussion last night was from Kevin, the gentleman I was talking about. He said a lot of people call it, you know, that's infrasound, you know, but he said, I don't believe that it is. I think it's something else. And he brought up a good point because he's talked about how, you know, there can be people in a group together and only one or two of them will get quote unquote zapped, you know, right. And if it was a sound wave, if it was truly, you know, a phenomena of a generation of subsonic sound waves, it should affect everybody. But why yes. only select people? Why, how can there only be, you know, one or two? And I don't think that there's some people are susceptible to infrasound and some people aren't. I think physiologically it's kind of a universal thing. So what else could it be? And he's talked about those very same things, and I find that really peculiar. And I also find it weird because, you know, what are the odds that me? Now, I don't know what to think about this kind of stuff. And it's not that I'm a disbeliever in it at all. It's not that at all. It's just, it's such a unique and different perspective to, you know, this phenomena that so many of us have just regarded as undiscovered natural phenomena, which it sounds like this is more than that, that this is an intelligence behind this that is equal to or higher than our own. And yes. and I think that it's hard for us to swallow that. And, you know, in our own hubris, I mean, we have a lot of arrogance in our race as far as our involvement in the natural world. So, you know, who wants to, you know, admit that this being living fairly in the wild expanses is actually smarter than us,
you know? Right. So no, you're absolutely right on the point right there.
Yeah. So I think that's really interesting.
Well, and we just really, really don't know. That's the whole point. I, like I was saying earlier, and like I said in the email to you, I used to make fun of people that, you know, and just like scoff at people that had these woo stories and all this stuff. And I gotta tell you, man, it's after my experience, I don't even know what to think. I can tell you this much. I will always take people's stories for what they are. Won't ever judge from the get go after my experience. Mm-hmm. It's changed my life in a lot of positive ways. So,
right. Yeah. I mean, what an incredible experience and what a, you know, I mean, to go from absolute terrified to, hey, I'm okay. And this is okay. I mean, that doesn't even track logically for our spectrum of emotion that we would have just such a shift for unknown reasons completely. I mean, you saw this thing, you have every right to be sitting there going, oh my God, because the last experience you had with one in close proximity shook your car and it was one of the most frightening experiences of your life. And now Correct. You're staring at one. And I mean, there's no reason to believe that you shouldn't be concerned for your safety. And then to go from that to being like, oh no, I'm okay. Everything's cool. it's contrary to our psychology.
Yeah, it's tiring too, because I fell asleep real fast that night.
And, you know,
and I really wasn't expecting to.
That's another thing that Kevin Keeney brought up, and he said after he gets zapped, and he uses the term zapped, but he said after he gets zapped like this, yeah, it's the same thing he reports, is that that right afterwards he can be all set and gung-ho to stay up overnight, boom, he gets zapped, and like 5 minutes later he's crawling into a sleeping bag because that's all he's got.
Yep. So, and it really is that, like, I was literally poured two buckets of water on my fire. Uh-huh. And normally I sit there and tend a dying fire to make sure it's all the way out for the night, because I live in Oregon and you don't want to catch anything on fire. So
right,
I usually am super vigilant. And this night I only did two buckets because I just wanted to go to sleep. And look, now that you've said that, looking back on it, that I don't know if that's what it was, but that would make sense on what was going on. You know, I've heard different encounters of, you know, people, investigators out, and one person a few yards away from them is down and out for the count all of a sudden, stripping their clothes off because they're overheated in the middle of the winter or something.
Right.
And the person next to them isn't affected at all. So it's super weird. I don't even know what to think about it, man.
Me either. But it's the curious thing is that, it's coming up enough that I have to, you know, I'm kind of in the same situation you're in. It's like I'm hearing about this from enough different people that have no knowledge of each other, no understanding of each other's work, and I'm hearing this phenomena reported with consistency there's consistency in what you were saying versus what he was saying last night. And it's like, okay, well, whatever's going on here is very real, even though I can't say I understand it. And I have no idea how they're able to accomplish this, but clearly something is happening that is just beyond our scope and understanding. And perhaps we can learn a lot from these things somehow and from these beings. And that to me is really encouraging. Now, what does that mean? I don't even know. But I tell you what, if there's going to be 10 feet tall Hulk-built apes running around our forests, I'd rather they were, you know, these intelligent things rather than these, you know, monstrous, you know, brainless things that run around and just satisfy their urges.
Exactly. Yes. it's a little more ease thinking about that in
right.
that way.
Yeah, because, you know, something that's so incredibly powerful, so incredibly adept and you know, capable of inflicting all kinds of harm in a hurry is walking around with a conscience and compassion. Well, that to me is that's an encouraging thought, even though people have had horrible experiences with these beings. You know, it just makes you wonder, what was the bigger picture there then? You know, what was going on in those situations? Because either we have a more disparate catalog of beings that fit this description, or perhaps, you know, there's just something else going on here, and we need to, you know, we have a lot to understand, I think, about it.
Oh yeah, I if we'll ever understand it,
right,
I don't.
Yeah.
I'm fully in the understanding that mankind will never fully know. I think it's just one of those things that we're never meant to know about.
Yeah, I think you're right, brother. So, I think that everything you've experienced has just been, you know, an incredible journey, and I would say that I think that you're incredibly fortunate to have had them, but it does put you in an awkward place because, you know, it is hard to talk about this facet of the phenomena. There's a lot of people that don't want to listen to this. They want these things to be apes. They want them to be these feral beings that are just, you know, large undiscovered primates. And, you know, clearly there's something more going on. And what that is, I can't pretend to know. I don't know what it means. But I know that, you know, for those people that want it to be an ape, they don't want to hear what you've got to say, you know, unfortunately. Sure. But I think the encouraging thing is that more people are coming forward with these kind of stories, including people like Les Stroud, who I think comes with a lot of credibility right off the bat. So that helps. That, you know, it's not just some people that have, you know, no identity in the national psyche. That there are, you know, there is somebody like Les Stroud coming out. There's Ron Moorhead, who's, you know, a big name in the with the Sierra Sounds and Bigfoot and all that, and he's talking about the quantum Bigfoot and stuff like this. So there is there's enough people out there saying it that I think that even the people that don't want to hear it are at least having to take notice.
Okay. Yeah. I don't know. I almost think they're like people. You know, we each have our own individual personalities. Everyone's a little different. There's some people that are bad, and there's some people that are good.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I think it's along that basis, and then you throw in some superhero type of stuff going on.
Right.
Yeah. And that's honestly what I believe. I believe they're able to. I don't know what they are. Mm-hmm. Like some people think they're Nephilim or any of that. I don't even like to put it.
No.
I guess on that because I just don't know.
Right. Exactly. Yeah. No, I
but
agree.
There's got to be something more to this whole thing. Something that we'll never understand. Maybe one day, but
yeah,
probably not.
I'm hopeful that at least maybe someday, because I think that we are by and large a very curious race of people, and you know, we do like to learn, even though that's the reason sometimes we learn are not altruistic. At least we have this desire for knowledge and understanding. So hopefully, you know, hopefully some at some point we'll figure this kind of stuff out. But I guess I hope it's when we're prepared for that responsibility of that knowledge, you know,
right.
Because I'm not so sure we are right now. So, but man, I really, really appreciate your time today. I think that it's incredibly brave of you to come on the show and talk about this. And I just want you to know that I'm absolutely honored that you chose this forum to do that. And it really means the world to me.
Well, thank you, Brent. And honestly, for me, other than getting it off my chest, and outside of my peers and not being judged, I figure if one person who's experienced something like this can hear this story and be like, I'm not crazy.
Mm-hmm.
This is what it's for. So,
amen, brother. I appreciate that. And you did wonderful. I know you were nervous, but nah, you couldn't even tell once you started talking, man. It was great. So,
good.
I thank you so much for your time and for your presence here. And, please stay in touch. If anything more comes up, or if you remember some more other accounts or things you'd like to talk about, I'd love to have you back.
Yeah, absolutely. I was up there yesterday kind of hiking around with a friend, saw some weird stuff, wasn't sure, some tree stuff, and mm-hmm. but there was a bunch of snow, so I was mainly up there looking for tracks, didn't see nothing. So okay. I'm always up there, so I'm always up looking. In January, I'll be up in Washington for a week and a half doing an investigation up at Bumping Lake area, so.
Oh, excellent. Well, brother, that'll be great. When you find something, we'll be here waiting for you, man.
All right. Thank you so much, Brent. You guys are doing an excellent job on the podcast. I listen to you guys every single week.
All right. Well, thank you so much, Tyler. I'm absolutely honored, and I hope to stay in touch, brother.
Absolutely. Thank you for your time, Brent.
Anytime, brother. We'll talk to you soon. Well, there you have it, ladies and gentlemen. That was Tyler from Oregon and his incredible group of experiences. And special thank you again to Tyler for being on the show. We really appreciate it. I think I personally learn so much with every new guest that has experiences like this. I think that there's a lot going on in these experiences that we think we know. We think we've got it all sorted out. But when it comes to the paranormal, it's all possible. And I think it's important to remind ourselves of that constantly in the scope of all of this. But anyway, ladies and gentlemen, thank you so much for being a part of the show and for tuning in and listening and for being so supportive and wonderful. If you like what you're hearing, please head over to iTunes, leave us a great review. That means a lot, and it goes a long way to help others hear about the show as well. And thank you all for those of you who have done that already. Please follow us on Facebook, facebook.com/paranormalportalradio. Follow us on Twitter at Paranormal Portal, P-O-R-T-L, and check us out on YouTube. We're doing live shows 7 days a week, 7 p.m. Pacific time on YouTube, so we'd love to get in touch with you guys there. And you can see us, and there's hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of videos in archive there on YouTube, so you can check out a lot of old shows. And the podcast and the YouTube channel are two very different things, so if you're familiar with the podcast, you've listened to all the episodes, head over to the YouTube channel, because those are all different separate episodes. So there's a lot of new material over there. But anyway, love you all. Be good, be kind, be nice. Take care of each other. Help each other out. Find the magic in every day, and remember to laugh as much as you can. Thanks, and we'll be back with another Paranormal Portal podcast before you know it. Take care, everybody. Thank you.
sports betting is sweeping across the country faster than the coronavirus, and Wagering Week is your antidote. I'm Tom Barton, and I'm a veteran sports analyst and respected sports handicapper who helped build ESPN's brand. I've been recognized and awarded by Pro Football Weekly and Gaming Today magazine as the honest handicapper. Let the other guys give you the same old boring sports talk with the same tired storylines. We'll give it to you straight here every Friday on Wagering Week. Don't gamble with other podcasts. Let Sports Garden Network's Wagering Week help your bottom line.